Yeah, I apologize for being a little late this morning. Thank you for your grace on that. I'm excited about the Fall Festival. You know, hearing talk about the carnival tide, the decorations. And you know, if you watch enough Hallmark Channel movies with your wife, you start thinking, oh, we're going to have like a Hallmark moment, you know, like all the decorations in the town and everything. And you know, a little episode of something like something's going wrong. We've got to save the bakery shop. You know, I just think about that aspect like, hey, this is going to be fun, you know. And I'm thinking, I know she sent me a picture where we're going to be. I'm like, man, we're going to transform this place, you know. But hey, maybe I'm watching too much TV, you know.
It's all good, bro.
There you go. Amen, guys. Amen. Candace is doing well. It's adjustment. It's a learning process. You know, just our bodies are just this motor, man, that just runs. And it needs tender loving care, like our vehicles and stuff, you know, like a home. But she's learning to adjust to what's going on with her. But proud of that young lady. She's like a mom and dad. She's a fighter, man. You know, we just fight through it, you know. And so, you know, we're just talking with her and just kind of trying to understand what's going on. You know, trying to like, okay, I can identify, you know, and I say, you know, you want to talk or something. And she's like, you know, I'm afraid if I talk too much, I'm going to combust. And, you know, once again, watching too many documentaries, I'm thinking like, combust? I watched a documentary over there about human beings combusting. You know? But that's not what she's talking about, you know. She's like, yeah, I'm just going to combust in tears. I said, well, that's okay. You can cry. We can cry if you want to cry.
Right.
You know, we can do that. She said, well, yeah, but not now. I said, okay, all right. I'll leave it be. You know, and I say, amen, Lord, I'm in the cry, but whoo! I just don't know if I can handle all the emotions right now, you know, it's my baby and what she's going through, but she's doing good, you know. Also, I wanted to share with you guys just our small group, how we're doing so much, and really just, man, God is just opening doors and just really creating avenues for us to do a lot of things. One of the things that in recent days that we have created, and we'll, I should say it's official now, it will be official, I guess it's coming Thursday. We've created a board. It took some time, you know, me and Nora talked. Nora, for the longest, was the remaining board member from long ago. And it's kind of the person who helped me, you know, whenever I needed to do something or whatever, balance. And Nathan, like, you just need to have somebody. And so we created a board. And so, you know, Henry Harrington is actually our board president. He used to be the board president before, but a lot happened in life over the last couple of years. And so, you know, we have to take care of personal things. But Henry was excited. He says, hey, I'm willing to do it. I have nothing going on. I'm having to come back to be board president. Was excited about that. Along with Henry, Nora's going to stay on the board. We have Delicia Rankin. She's going to be on the board helping out. We have Gloria. She's also going to be on the board. And then we have Donald Norman. Some of you know Donald. Some of you don't. But he came to retreat listening. So Donald Norman. So we've got a good mixture of board. And I was excited when everybody decided to say, hey, we'll all get on board. And we'll work together. And amen. And I told Henry, I said, I'm dumping everything. You're going to have Harry said, no, brother, you still got to give us some vision and stuff. I said, yeah, I still got to do that, huh? And so just see how great God is moving in the hearts of everybody. Say, hey, what we can do and things we can happen. We do have a backpack drive coming up soon. Patricia's been working hard on that. And we definitely look forward to giving you guys an update as to when that's going to happen by next Sunday. Just working with the board to get everything in order. So really excited about that. So just wanted to update you guys on that information. This morning we're going to be in the Gospel of Mark and the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to talk about Jesus.
Amen.
Talk about Jesus. Our God. You know, and while you guys are, I say flip over to Mark. We'll start at Mark first, and then we'll get back to Matthew. You can mark the place in Matthew chapter 4. While you're doing that, I wanted to share something I heard. That was funny. Maybe it's still funny. But it was sharing about Einstein. And it says, Einstein and an Indian were taking a long flight across the country. And while in flight, taking this flight, Einstein looked over at the Indian and said, hey, would you like to play a game? And the Indian man said, okay, sure. Einstein said, look, I'm going to ask you a question. And he says, if you cannot get that question right, you have to give me $5. And the man said, okay. And then the Indian man says, I'm going to let you ask me a question. And if I cannot get that question right, I'll give you $500.
Oh.
Wow. The Indian man said, okay, but won't you start? Einstein says, what's the distance between the earth and the moon? The Indian man looked around, thought, reached in his pocket, and gave him $5. Einstein said, okay, And I said, okay, your turn. And the man, the guy saying, says, what goes up the hill with three legs and comes back down the hill with four?
Man, stop.
He stopped for a minute. He thought, and he looked, reached in his pocket, and he gave the Indian man $500. Indian man like, okay, like that. Einstein said, okay, my turn, but before I go, I want to ask you a question. What goes up the hill with three legs and come down with four legs? The Indian man reached in his pocket and gave him $5. Be careful messing with people in their money. You're not as smart as you think you are. But guys, over in the Gospel of Mark, we're going to talk about just Jesus picking up where we left off at in Gospel of Mark chapter 1, verse 9. Talks about the baptism and the testing of Jesus. And then pick it up in verse 9 in chapter 1 of Mark. It says, at that time, Jesus came from Nazareth and Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness for 40 days being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals and angels attended him. This is amazing. You know, Jesus has come, and man, he goes to get baptized in Jordan. And he's out in the wilderness being tested for 40 days, of course, 40 nights, tempted by Satan. And in the end, all the angels attend to him. Turn me to Matthew 4. And the one thing I love about going through the gospel is this. That gives you kind of a short picture frame about what's happening. But if you go back into Matthew, Matthew say, well, let's give you the details of actually what's happening, the details of this story. And so if you turn there, and then chapter 3, I should say, 13, right above 4, it says, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. Do you come to me? You know, that's how we look at Jesus. Like, Jesus, why are you coming to me asking me to do something to you or for you? For you are greater than me. And John said, no. I need to be baptized by you. This was his view. This was his view of the situation. But Jesus assured him that, no, this is what needed to be done in order for him to be relatable or to relate to us. And that's the first thing we're going to talk about, is being relatable. You know, ask yourself, are you relatable to your community? Think about it. Really, are you relatable to your community and those around you? Do you try to understand other people's position without compromising your standard? I was watching a documentary last night that Sidney Dacre, and it's called Bunker Bombs. And so up in South Dakota, a lot of you may remember the 1950s, they got these bunkers, and what are they like? These little dome-shaped bunkers. And so these bunkers is out there. Of course, there's a company thinking like, we can help people, we can make money, because we have this doomsday prepper mine also. And so they bought all these bunkers, and they showed a picture on CNN, all out there sitting in the middle of nowhere. I mean, it's just flat land, nowhere. And what they decided to do, they took these bunkers, and they turned them into homes. And it's $35,000. That's it.
Yeah.
And so I was looking at these guys, and they talk to these families. There's no windows, but they'll build you a home inside the bunker. And they're talking about how they get these shutters, like these windows they bought from Menards, like a Home Depot. And you can change the picture. And so if you want to see a lake outside, you just change it. You can see a lake outside while you're in these bunkers and stuff. And they're talking about all the things that they're going into to just where they need to be. But this guy was saying, we did it because we know there's people out there who are kind of anti the world, or kind of like just have a hard time existing in the world. One guy said he had a red Corvette 98, but he said he was on the verge of just snapping. And he needed to get away from society. And he chose to bow to this. But he said he has no more debt, no more nothing. He's a homeowner in a bunker. I thought, wow, I would never think that nobody would relate to somebody like that. that's somebody else who's thinking like these guys think. I just want to be away from the world. South Dakota, that's it, you know, and relate. But I think in our community and ourselves, how do we relate to people in where we live at?
Come on.
How do we connect with people where we live at? How are we relatable? You know, when Jesus was making it clear to John that, John, no, you need to baptize me. That's the reason for this. He wanted to make sure that we understood that he was relating to us. Because this was going to be the process. He was laying the groundwork of what needed to be done for generations to come in order for us to experience salvation and to have a new start on life. You know, to relate to other people, we have to identify with them. That is a key thing. We have to identify with them. Stay where you are. I'm just going to read the scripture to you real quick over in 1 Corinthians. But in order to identify with people, let's see, sir. 1 Corinthians 9, let me get there. And 2 Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19, it says, though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone. For what purpose? To win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to what? Win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ, as so to win those having no law. He said, to the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessing. Back over to Matthew 13, Jesus replied, Let it be so. Now, it is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. You see, Jesus wanted to make sure that you understand that he wanted to relate to us. He just never asked you to say, hey, you need to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. He just didn't want you to know that so you could receive the Holy Spirit. But Jesus said, I'm going to set the example. I'm going to be baptized. I want to make sure that you understand I'm relating to you. I've stepped down off my throne, wrapped in this flesh. I'm going to do the process so you can see that. I want you to see that I get you. I get how you've been living. And I get what you're going through. And I want you to know that I identify with you. This is what Jesus did for us. He had no sin, yet he chose to be baptized so that you could see that he relates to you. He also wants you to understand the importance of baptism as it relates to your relationship with God, him, and the Holy Spirit. Like Jesus, you have to invest if you want to relate to others.
That's right.
We just have to. Jesus, God, they decided that, guess what? We're going to invest a little deeper so that they can see that I understand you, my creation, the people I created. I want you to understand that I get you, but I want you to get me also. Therefore, I'm willing to invest. I want you to understand that I relate. You know, going further, in verse 16 it says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. It says, and a voice from heaven said, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Man, there's nothing better than an endorsement. I remember when endorsements started happening with athletes. I think Shaq was one of the first ones. I think I remember one of the really big, big endorsements. This was during the era of Jordan. But Shaq had just left the Orlando Magic. He signed with the Lakers, and then he got this big endorsement deal on sneakers for $121 million. That was big back then. It was like, wow, he got $121 million, and he's not even Jordan. I remember that. It was like big news. Yeah. But after he busted open that door, more endorsements started coming. Mm-hmm. Kevin Garnett was the next biggest endorsement. So, you know, endorsements are important. People really get a lot of endorsements. And when people endorse you, they say, hey, We're going to back you. We're going to put our name on you because we like what you're doing. We like the impact that you're having on the public, because not only are you getting a return, but those of us who are endorsing you, we get a return too. You know, the biggest endorsement that you will ever get in life is from God.
That's right.
But you got to see it that way. You have to believe it that way. You have to believe that God is the biggest endorsement that you will ever get.
Come on.
You know, when someone says they will endorse you, they are committing all of their resources to your future success.
Amen.
Did God not do that with Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Did he not do that? He says, I just let it. This is the greatest resource I can give you. I'm committed to you for your future success. Not only your future success in this life, but guess what? And someday when you cross over, you see, he's committed to you. You see, you have to take care of your endorsement. That's the key thing. I've watched people lose their endorsement. Tiger Woods was one of the many ones who lost a lot of his endorsements.
Yep.
Because he just didn't look right in the public eye no more. The public eye, I should say, of money. Yes, the public eye of all of us, but those endorsements, like, hold on. Yeah, we endorse you, but you know what? If you go south or you do wrong, guess what happens? People stop wanting to what? Deal with us, buy from us, purchase from us, or do anything with us. So we've got to cut ties. We no longer want to invest in you or use our resources to help you be successful. You have to take care of your endorsement. You have to protect it and appreciate the one who is backing you. You have to present yourself in a righteous way. Ain't that challenging? That's challenging. JD preached that Sunday. JD said, we all got shadows that follow us. And I thought about, wow. Yeah, I've been trying to want that shadow just to go away. He's talking about the things that we've done in the past, things that we've been involved with in the past, things that, you know, we wish that never happened. But, you know, I had that. But I remember when my daughter was in the hospital, and she didn't see it that way. And I thought about it for a while. You know, and we were just talking about people trying to get in the hospital, you know, they being very strict, and people trying to take shortcuts and everything. And we were talking about that. And I'll never forget my daughter. I said, Dad, you always have to do everything right. You always have to be right in everything you do. And I think like, oh, I'm far from that. But at that moment in that conversation, I just thought about that. And I thought about it for a few days, you know. And I thought about it from that aspect, like, is this affecting my daughter in our relationship or affecting her drawing closer to God? I just thought about that. That weighed on me. But as the days went on, I realized, no, it's not affecting her in a negative way, but it's showing her that I'm making every effort to do everything right.
Mm-hmm.
That's what she's seeing. You see, the enemy wants me to think, see there, you're trying to be all Mr. Goody Two Shoes, doing everything right, always trying to walk straight and narrow, and look at that. It's having that negative impact. In the moment, it felt like that, but what was going on? But as I had some days to think about it, I'm like, no, she's paying attention to me.
Yeah, yep.
She's watching me. When I think she's not watching me, when I think she's ignoring me, when I think she don't want to hear me, when she's like, man, leave me alone. She's actually been watching me.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's right.
Yeah, I think I need to protect the righteous things that I do or the righteous way that I'm making every effort to live. You know, like Jesus, you know, we want God to feel the same way about us.
That's right.
God said, this is my son whom I love. With him, I am wealthy. Don't we want God to feel the same way about us?
Yeah.
Yes.
Don't you hate it when somebody that you like, maybe love a lot, you invest a lot of your emotion and time and those things in them, and they don't reciprocate? You're like, you know, it puts a sour taste in your mouth. You know, someone's like, you're just going to make me go to the dark side real fast, and you know. But you know, you want to like, no. I want you to understand how much I love you and I appreciate you. And that's how we should want God to feel about us. An endorsement from God is an eternal endorsement. Not just a worldly endorsement. It is an eternal endorsement. So I want to challenge us to take care of it. You know, so we've looked a little bit here into more of the details of Jesus about just him being relatable. Say, I'm going to get baptized. I want you to say how important it is. Going to relate to us. And then he talked, you know, when you get the re-endorsement, you know, about how God, like, I want to back you. I want to give all my resources to you so that you can be successful in this walk that you're walking.
Right.
But now let's get into the nitty gritty of things in chapter 4. You remember, because then Mark had talked about how, man, he goes out into the desert. And imagine this, You get baptized, have the great moment. You know, John, from his perspective, what we get to see is that you're seeing God, you're hearing God, you're seeing the Spirit, that's Jesus. You get to see the three in one, all in one place. And immediately after that, picking up in verse 1, it says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit. Well, whose Spirit's leading him? It's God's Spirit. Lead him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now we would say, wait a minute, hold on. God doesn't do that. There's no way. But God makes it clear that, okay, as a part of his ministry, never going to go into the desert. Because God knew down the road, oh, the devil's waiting. He's waiting to test and tempt you anyway. But let's go ahead and get on with it right now. And it says in verse 2, after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. I can imagine being very hungry. It says, the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Wow. He didn't wait, did he? Something we're learning here during this time of testing for Jesus is that it was God's idea to test Jesus in this way. God was showing Satan during these testings that he could do more with less if they are committed to him. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 7 speaks about how he would be in context, in certain context, that we are lower than the angels. Okay? And so you gotta understand, Satan's what? A fallen angel. Mm-hmm. We're God's human. But God wanted to show him that, you know what? Jesus is wrapping himself in human flesh. And I'm gonna show you what I can do with humans. I can do a lot more with less. Yeah, they may be less than a human, but I can do a lot more with them because they're committed to obeying the Father.
Amen.
But that's true in life. That's true in life. If we have people who are willing to work with us and they're workable, we can do more with them. We can. Even if they don't have the training that they need to have, just the simple fact that they're willing to listen to you, obey you, do what you ask, you find out, they make the job easy. I can do a lot more with them. You know, Jesus gave up a physical craving to fulfill a greater spiritual need.
That's right.
Fasting involves switching up priorities. When fasting, you depend on prayer and fellowship with God to feed the spirit instead of the stomach. After 40 days of fasting, Jesus came out of it ready for battle. I don't know about you. Fasting for 40 days, no food.
Yeah.
Are you really ready to fight anybody? Think about it. Maybe this is not you, but me, I know, like, if I've gone like 12 hours at food, I'm starting to talk about, man, I can eat a horse. You know, no comment, man, I'm so hungry, I can eat a horse. You know, yeah, chase it down, knock it down. You know, you're like, I'm lavish, I'm hungry, you just want to eat. And of course, we live in America where they like overload the plates, everything big. And guess what? If you can't finish it all, somebody came up with an idea plan of what? Let's have a to-go plate. Bring it home with you. Finish it. Man. I can imagine 40 days. But see, those 40 days was about him connecting with God. A lot of prayer and fellowship. I don't know about you, but when I read my Bible, and I mention my Bible sometimes, I feel strengthened. I feel strong. Mm-hmm. And the things that I struggle with in life, the temptations, as I always think about Paul a lot, when Paul said that thorn in my flesh, we all have a thorn in our flesh. There's that one sin that just dogs me, man. It dogs me. And I said, this is what Paul was talking about. I may not know his thorn in his flesh, but I know my thorn in my flesh. Mm-hmm. And the enemy, every time he gets a chance, he's like, oh, see this little weak? I'm going to take a dig in that thorn. You know, somebody, you want to dig in that wound? He's like, I'm going to dig in it, and I'm going to make Sidney think about it or try to act it out. But I found out that when I get in my Bible and get in times of prayer and fellowship with God, that thorn is not a bother anymore.
Amen.
That thorn is not a bother. Not as much as the enemy would like for it to be. It's just not that. But it says Jesus came out ready for battle. When you're in your word and you're praying to God, you're ready for battle. You are seriously ready for battle. You know, verse 3 highlights, it says, Satan pokes at your ability to be independent for the purpose of you rebelling against God in your disobedience. Here's the crazy thing about this. He uses the word of God against you to get you to do wrong. Ain't that something?
Mm-hmm.
He uses the word of God against you to do wrong. You know, in verse 4, how did Jesus respond? He answered, he said, "It is written, man should not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." This is a quote from Deuteronomy. It says, "Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. 'If you are the Son of God,' he said, 'throw yourself down, for it is written.'" You know, you think about how Jesus is responding to all this, you know. But you have to ask yourself, how do you respond to the enemy?
Come on.
Because you have those thoughts. You have those conversations in your mind. Should I not? Should I do? Why am I thinking that? Why am I entertaining that? You have them. But it's all about how you're going to respond to deal with them. How are you going to respond to deal with them? You know, sometimes we pick up the wrong weapon to defend ourselves. And we find out the weapon doesn't work. When dealing with Satan, sin, and wickedness, our first and only choice of weapon should be the Word of God. And this is why you have to know your Bible. Talk about that all the time.
Yep.
Why do you need to know your Bible? Back down to verse 6, it says, "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written." Satan is about to quote scripture.
Yep.
He says, "He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Satan knows the Bible too.
Yep.
He knows the Bible too. You see, Satan quotes scriptures of Jesus as he challenges Jesus to commit what? Suicide.
Yep.
He said, "Throw yourself off, kill yourself. All the angels come and get you left. Going against God's plan." Challenge him to commit suicide. And then he quotes this scripture. This scripture is actually from Psalms 91, verse 11 and 12. That's what he quotes from him. Wow, from David. He says, Satan wants you to alter God's plan for your life. That's what he wants. But the question is, will you allow him to? Will you allow him to convince you to alter your life for God's plan? Really? Will you allow him to? I'm going to read something here to you. By quoting scripture, it is written, it says, "If Jesus, the living word, needed to use the written word to deal with the enemy of the word, how much more do you?" He gave you the Bible so you could wield it like a sword. Man, are you picking up your sword on a daily basis? Are you carrying your sword with you in your heart? Are you using that sword to defend yourself, to fight off the schemes of the devil, to fight off evil and wickedness? Are you doing that? You know, God needs your obedience, your willingness, and he needs you to be committed. That's what he needs from you.
That's right.
How did Jesus respond to Satan? Verse 7 says, Jesus answered, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test."
Yep.
Once again, he quotes from Deuteronomy. He's quoting all these things from when Moses led the nation of Israel. Quotes again. He says, it is written, do not put your Lord God to the test. And you know, we like to test sometimes. No, if he can't convince you to act independently of God, he'll work through your religion. But God doesn't need Satan's help to get you where he wants you to go. You have to realize that. God doesn't need Satan's help to get you to where you want to go.
No.
Now, how do you respond to your enemy? You ever think about that? How do you respond to your enemy? How do you respond to your enemy? You know, sometimes, guys, we don't respond in the right way. Sometimes we just don't respond at all. Sometimes we just hope it's going to go away, or somebody else will fix it, or just try to ignore it. But you have to respond when trouble comes, when you're under attack. Mm-hmm. You have to respond when the devil is challenging your being. when the devil is challenging the one that you believe in, the one that you profess, you have to respond. You cannot be silent and you cannot be quiet. It's just like having a job. Your job expects certain things from you. They have certain expectations of what you're bringing to the table. And when something goes wrong on a job or a project falls through, guess what? They need an answer. You cannot just be quiet. You cannot let it go. You cannot like it's not there. They expect an answer. That's what they expect. But you have to be prepared to respond. And the only way you can be prepared to respond is you have to know your job.
Yep.
You have to know the ins and outs of the project. You have to know the ins and outs and the details of how this project was supposed to come together, how it was supposed to work, and how it was going to benefit the company. If you're going to respond to the devil, God's number one enemy, the fallen angel, you're going to have to know God's word. You're going to have to understand the word and how it applies in your life and how it is to be used every day in your life and how important your fellowship and fellowship with God and your time of prayer with God is. If you expect to be successful going forward as a child of God, you have to know this. Finally, guys, chapter 8. Again, the devil. He's relentless. He's not quitting. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. It says, then the devil left them, and angels came and attended them. How can you give away somebody else's stuff? That's what I thought about. Mm-hmm. The devil said, if you worship me, I'll give you all that God has created in the world. How can you give away somebody else's stuff?
Yeah.
You know? Another question came to my mind because we've heard this before and we said this. Who does that?
Mm-hmm.
But think about it. People have, maybe it's happened to you, have maybe, people have given away other people's stuff without their permission. Or offered it without their permission.
Right.
Now we understand Satan is the prince of this world, but God is the owner of the universe. So this world and everything else is those exist in this universe. But Satan is saying, look, man, here's the really goal what I'm trying to get at. I just want you to worship me. Worship me, little me, a fallen angel who is beneath Jesus himself. Worship me, and I give you all the kingdoms of the world. Who does that? Satan. Why? He wants your worship. He wants your endorsement. But you have to ask yourself, is he worth it? Really? Is he worth it? This is what he wants from you. He wants your worship. He wants your endorsement. But our response is to be like Jesus. What did Jesus say? I've had enough. I'm just done.
Yep.
There's some people like that, some conversations be like, I'm done. I'm out of it. I'm done with this. I'm gone. That's how we need to approach Satan. You know, I'm done with this. I'm moving forward. I don't have time for this. This is erroneous. This is crazy.
That's right.
You know? We need to be like, look, who does that? Have nothing to do with him, you know? Man, how did the battle end? Jesus said he had enough, and the devil left.
That's right.
Do you know that when you've had enough of entertaining evil, it leaves you? When you've had enough of entertaining the devil, he'll leave you.
Mm-hmm.
When you've had enough of foolishness and just nonsense, it'll leave you, or you will leave it. It's going to happen one way or another. It's going to happen one way or another. I want to read something to you. It says, if you're a Christian, you have an obligation to, I'm sorry, if you're a Christian, you have no obligation to the devil. And you have Jesus' delegated authority against Satan. Resist the devil with the word and in obedience to God. And it says, and he will flee from you as he fled from Christ. Too often we come to worship God on Sunday and then serve lesser agendas and gods the rest of the week.
That's right.
But if Jesus is the ultimate authority in your life, and we know that Jesus is the ultimate authority in the universe, he deserves your exclusive worship and service.
Yes.
So how did this battle end? The devil left him. The angels came and served him. You see, Satan is unable to handle righteous life that consistently confront him with God's word.
Amen.
Amen.
You know. You know, when the fallen angel left, faithful angels came and fulfilled their rightful role, serving Christ and giving him the worship he deserves. And it's when the fallen angel left, faithful angels came. But they came because Jesus was righteous through the whole situation. He was righteous through the whole situation. One of the great things about this is we need to know our Bible. One of the things about this is we need to be relatable, like Jesus was relatable to not only John, but to us. Even though John was like, wait a minute, no. But Jesus like, I need to do this. Because I really want you guys to get it. I want you guys to get it, that I get you. And not only on Sundays and Wednesdays, but through the week, I want to make sure I got the right person backing me and endorsing me. And in order to do that, I want to make sure that I'm endorsing him and backing him. And it's okay. It's okay to look righteous in the eyes of other people. Sometimes people hate it when you look righteous because they think it's such a struggle, but they can do it too. They have it, but they just have to want to.
Amen.
Jesus here, he wanted to do right. Even though God told him, this is my son whom I love and I'm well pleased with. God immediately said, well, we're going to test you. I'm going to put you out there with Satan. I'm going to, we're going to fast and everything for 40 days. And after 40 days, before we get some food, the enemy's going to come by and test you. But Jesus was strong. And the whole point, no matter how many scriptures that the devil quoted it, Jesus quoted more.
Yep.
He quoted more. Guys, as we go about our week, let's make sure we're having great fellowship time with Christ.
That's right.
Make sure we're having great times of prayer. Making sure that we're in the Word, because that is our sword. That is our sword. Our faith may be our shield, but the Word is our sword. And we can cut through all the nonsense, the foolishness, and those who may take Scripture and misuse them for selfish gain. People do it all the time. Let's know the Word. Let's obey God. Let's worship Him only. And let's win. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you guys so much.
Amen.